This meeting is now being recorded.
Are there any updated statements of interest and notes of apologies that have not been recorded? Hi, can you guys hear me?
Hi, Denise. We can hear you now.
Great. I'm sorry, a little phone issue. So there's no SOIs or updated apologies or absences? All right. Hearing none, we'll move on. As we discussed on the last call and also on the email list, we're suspending most of the subtopic group calls and instead using our Tuesday UTC time slot to address the subtopics in sequence to allow for a greater insight from the larger team on the activities and to increase engagement, particularly where that's lagging a bit on some of the subtopic groups. We'll reassess how this is going when we get together in Abu Dhabi. So as has been proposed, we'll be addressing SSR1 implementation on this call. Alain has graciously volunteered to be the rapporteur on this group. So I'll turn it over to Alain for an update on where this work is, and then we can proceed with a discussion on the substance or the bullets that are outlined on the draft agenda. With that, Alain, I'd like to turn it over to you.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. So, okay, I just joined the call. I had a few delay, but I hear Denise handing over to me to update on the SSR1 subgroup work, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, okay, from the last call, I think that it was one week ago, I updated the team about what we're trying to do for the subgroup, and the decision from the call was that we keep the subgroup because we were not sure how proceed, but I think the decision from the last call was to keep the group, to go for to update the work plan for the subgroup so that the subgroup mandate changed to accommodate the work of the consultants. I think we all agree now that we need them. We need a consultant help, but the team need to be reinforced and kept to do some preliminary review of the implementation of the recommendation, and well on the term of the reference. But I think the term of reference for the consultant has to be approved by the team, the global team. And I hope everybody saw a draft of the term of reference for the consultant. I I sent some comments. I edited a document with some comments. So probably we'll come back to week later, I hope. So, and then with the subgroup mandate, then will be to work with the consultant to do gap analysis in terms of the implementations, and to because the consultant will need to this group to serve as contact, because they will need to talk to us, to the review team, and maybe it's good that they some for some issues they only discuss with the subgroup, and for some they reach out to the global team, and when the consultant is interacting with staff, maybe the subgroup also is there to also listen. And make sure the consultant follow exactly and does the right things. To make sure that the consultant is doing what we ask for, that means we as subgroup and we as a review team at Global to agree on what we expect from the consultant, so that we can speak the same language and make sure that because I think and I hope at the end of the day, it is the review team who is going to be responsible for the review, not the consultant. So the consultant is just to help us. So we have to agree among ourselves on what we expect the consultant to do. So I think this, for me, seems to be a critical point. Follow up with the consultant, review the report, and come back to the group. So I think based on that, I updated the work plan this morning. I sent them a copy today for the team to look at it. And I think what we have on the screen is basically what we have in the updated version of the document. Okay. So for me, then we have received the briefing from staff of all the recommendations. We have asked staff to provide a consolidated version of document on the implementations. And the staff has provided something, but I think we are still expecting more information from staff. Make sure that at one place we can see all the information about the completion date of each of the recommendations. So I think from now, where we are now is that as subgroup or as team, we need to do this preliminary review and to understand exactly what happened. And this will help us to work on the term of reference for the consultant, but at the same time, see if we still need more information from staff or from any of the ICANN AC or SO or community member, because I think we cannot only put this on the consultant only. So I think this is what I can say for the subgroup. I think one of the challenges and which I think we need to focus on right now is that if you look at the report from the SSR1 group, the report was issued in 2012, and after the board resolution, I think October 2012, the staff started to implement, and it took 5 years to implement the resolution. Some of them, I think some of the resolution, the implementation of some of the resolution also has probably been affected by internal change inside the organization, has been affected by many, many things. So I think one of the challenges is to also take the recommendation from the beginning, put them in the context of when they were being implemented, and see if when the recommendation was implemented, was exactly the same or to solve the same problem as it was in 2012, or the recommendation has been adjusted to the new context before being implemented. I think this is, I think from me, I see these are the issues we also need to look at it. We will pass it on to the consultant, but I think I should raise it here. So then I'll stop here, and if there is any comments, question, but I hope we're going to discuss, the term of reference for the consultant. So I'll hear and then be open for questions, comments, and
thank you, Alan.
Let's see what next.
We'll start a queue for. Thank you. We'll start a queue for questions. I don't see a hand raised, but if there are people, yes, can you hear? Can you hear me, Alan?
Hello.
Can others hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Jimmy.
I can, Denise.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. we seem to be having trouble with the Alan's line.
Yes. I can hear you.
So if we could have everyone mute their phones if they're not speaking, maybe that will help the situation. So we're taking a cue for questions or discussions relating to any of the items noted by Alan on SSR1. I think I have some initial comments myself. Seeing other hands, I'll, I think, jump in. So I've done a preliminary review of the data that has been assembled to date on the recommendations. I found a number of areas where additional information or questions arise. So I'll put those to the list. Personally, I think we're at the point where we will certainly need parallel efforts. That is, we will continue to have questions that are raised or seek additional information. At the same time, I think we should move forward with gap analysis, and I think the person or entity doing the gap analysis will, in turn, likely surface additional questions or requests for information. So I think we need to treat this as some parallel activities that would occur. I think it also would be useful to, I think, as with all the subtopic work, to put some expected dates around the different steps that we'll be working through on SSR1. So we'd throw that suggestion out there as well. Are there other suggestions or discussions or questions surrounding SSR1? Okay, so I think a couple of action items that come out of this, one that we've mentioned on the list is that there are too few team members addressing the substance of SSR1 and its implementation. So we continue to request that we get additional team members' assistance and focus on this area of work, which, as you know, is a important one for the team, one of our shall-dos instead of can-dos. And then we'll the subtopic team members on the land will work to attempt to assign some broad dates to the work plan that's been provided, and we'll continue to surface the additional questions and requests for information, and then Eric and I need to have a few more questions we need to get answered on how the team is going to be handling consultants or contractors, and then we'll follow up with the subtopic group on a consultant for the gap analysis. Ellen, did you have any other comments on this, or, of course, anyone on the team?
Yes, I do have comments and maybe more points. So I'm still surprised that since my alert, my guy, etc., we have not seen any team member volunteering to join. So I think this seems to be a bit worrying for me. And if we volunteer, can the coaches trying to maybe approach people and ask them if they are willing to join? Because we have to get a team and start moving faster.
Yes. Would the team like to invest the co-chairs in the power to force team members to work on sub-teams? That was a bit of a joke. Well, one thing we have, Alana, is we have a new team member, I think, coming in, and I don't know that we discussed this on the list, but the GNSO Council is...
No, please.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, Denise, no, please, don't force. No, please, don't force. But I say you, the coaches to contact people and ask them if they are willing. So don't force people. But I think if you look at the team and you look at the distribution, maybe you can find some members who will be easy to be approached to join, maybe, but not to force.
So, and Eric may want to speak up on this. So I view it as each team member being responsible for the team's work overall and their contributions to the team specifically. So if team members feel that they can contribute to the SSR1 discussion or can take even a part of the recommendations and bring some substantive assistance to it, that would be really helpful to the FLOIR team. I would also note that it looks like we'll have a new member coming in. So I pledge that Eric and I will catch that person early and do our best to corral him for the subtopic one implementation group. If that person feels his interests and skill sets line up. Eric, I see your hands up.
Interests and skill sets.
Yeah, hey, Denise, thanks. So I think I was going to basically just kind of pile onto that. I think one of the things that is going to make this, I think, a lot easier is the consultant business gap analysis. I think that's the whole point. So I think, you know, it's just sort of speaking for myself, maybe this generalizes to others or maybe it doesn't, is that it's a little daunting to play catch up on 5-year-old recommendations and the status that they're in. And so, you know, this is one of the sub teams that has kind of one of the more difficult nuanced jobs to do. So I think having a consultant come in, putting a gap analysis together, I think it'll let us sort of hopefully identify what the salient items are to really start up discussion. So, you know, it's my hope personally, and certainly as a co-chair, that what'll happen is when we start to see some results from this person, it'll help digest the meta points, so we can all see them more clearly. And then I think it'll be a lot easier to start topics. So Len, I don't think anyone was trying to put this on you, so I'm really sorry that that's how it felt. It was more sort of like, I think people, speaking for myself again, might have been having trouble figuring out where to start. And so bringing in the consultant sooner rather than later, getting someone engaged as soon as possible to start producing better results, I think should give us the opportunity to start these discussions amongst ourselves. So that's my hope. And I'm really sorry if it came across differently to you, and I don't think any of us intended it that way.
Say thank you, Eric, and I'd like to associate myself with those remarks. Alan has been doing yeoman's work and the heavy lifting on SSR 1, greatly appreciated, and of course, if this isn't, so it is not your responsibility to try and recruit other people to join this, the sub-team, but we really appreciate your effort here, and we'll do our best to make sure that the you and I and I think the other person on the sub-team gets additional support. Are there other, Alan, I see your hand up. Is that an old hand or a new hand? Alan, if you're speaking, Alan, we can't hear you.
Yes, yes. I haven't finished, so I have one or two more points, if you allow me.
I'm sorry, I think my phone cut out. Could you repeat that?
Yes. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Yep, we can hear you, Alan. Go ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, so, okay, I may be having some. Okay, so I need some clarification before we move on. I need some clarification before we move on because from the term of reference, of the draft term of reference of what I read, today seems to be the deadline for us to agree and push the term of reference, et cetera, et cetera, and have 1 month to hire the consultant, et cetera, et cetera. Are we still on this schedule? Because this will determine the preliminary review implementation and what we need to do. So are we now, our priorities is going to be a term of reference for the consultant, and what are the timeline right now, education on that, please?
Yeah, thank you, Alan. That's a great question. Absolutely, I think our priority is to resolve the issue around contracting with a consultant and getting the gap analysis underway. I believe that date was one that staff came up with as an aspiration, but perhaps staff can address that. And that was related to an RFP process, and Eric and I are still seeking some additional information regarding the situation where RFPs are not required, which we were initially told in Madrid that this level of expenditure does not require the full or even fast-track RFP process. So we're just working out a few of the process details, but can staff address the deadline they put in a previous email relating to a gap analysis consultant?
Hi, Denise. Thank you. This is Larissa. Happy to do that. The date was just a starting point that if we got the information from the review team input on the document, the overview document, the terms of reference, as Alan refers to it, and confirmation that that document accurately reflects the scope of work that the review team is expecting and the deliverables in the timeline. Once we have that confirmation, then we would proceed. Obviously, it is not a deadline of any sort, and the review team should feel free to take whatever time you need to move this forward. But we proposed that date with the understanding that there was a sense of urgency in bringing a contractor in to do the work, and that's in order to bring someone in by middle to the end of September. That was the proposed timeline. And then as far as the second part of Denise's comment, in terms of the procurement process or the process of engaging a contractor, we would be happy to discuss any additional questions, but the proposal to have a document that clearly articulates what the scope of work is, and so there's clarity of agreement between the review team and the potential candidates of what the scope is, what the expectations are, what the deliverables would be in the timeline. Those elements are all still applicable to whether it's a formal RFP or a fast-track RFP, or really it's just a practice that ICANN follows in engaging outside parties to make sure that the engagement is for work that's clear and identifies the best possible candidate to do the job. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Larissa. I see Eric is hand up, and then Alain. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, yeah, sorry. So this could be my bad. So if it is, you know, mea culpa, and sorry for wasting everyone's time. But can we go over maybe very quickly, not in any kind of great length, what exactly gating our ability to engage this contractor? Do we need to have the full, you know, the full scope of work worked out before we even begin the process? I mean, what does it take for us to start pull the trigger on this? I mean, what's the minimum we can do to get going on this? Because I think, you know, I see a lens head, so he'll probably say something that might sound a lot like, you know, the sooner we get this done, the better. So if we wanted to move forward on this expeditiously, what exactly is standing in our way? What are the outstanding actions that we as like co-chairs can do so we don't have to involve the whole team versus what do we need the whole team's input for, so on and so forth? I mean, I know there was a document that was socialized. I don't have a good recollection for what the next move was after that. And like I said, that could be my bad, so I apologize if this is redundant. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. I think the I'll let Larissa address these questions. I do recall, I think there was the question of using a simpler, faster statement, scope of work and deliverable statement and in informal advertising to engage the appropriate consultant. So I think there's the question of using the faster statement of work process rather than the more formal RFP process that we were looking into and trying to get clarity on. I think the second point, second issue that we'd asked about was selection. I think under an RFP process, staff had indicated that they would be choosing who would be doing this work for the team. I think there was an understanding on the team that staff would be validating the appropriateness or, you know, whether the consultants were qualified, met whatever ICANN requirements there are for consultants, and then from that the team would be choosing the subgroup which consultant the team met. The team felt best meet their needs. So I think using a sort of a statement of work, a lightweight process versus an RFP, and who's choosing the consultant were, I know, two outstanding issues that we had asked about. Larissa, did you have any more input on this?
Hi, Denise. Thank you. So to address Eric's question, the information that we circulated last week included answers to a lot of these. So the procurement process or the process of engaging what we proposed and the form and the document and the timeline took into consideration the least cumbersome and, you know, the most sensible way to move forward. So as soon as we have confirmation from the review team, and I know that Alain had already circulated some very useful comments on the section of that document that we were looking for clarity, and I think Denise and Eric asked for an opportunity to review that document and provide their input. So as soon as we have clarity on the scope of work and the deliverables and the timeline and the skills, that gives us everything we need to get the process rolling and deliver, you know, within a reasonable timeline like we suggested in that document. But to address Denise's questions more specifically, there's really no additional way or some other way to engage a third party without having written documentation of those elements that I described. So the level of formality has already been taken into consideration in terms of simplifying the form and not making it overly complex. But the thought behind what we shared with you was that those are the key elements that would be important for anybody to understand in order to agree to do the work and provide a reasonable bid for the work. And then in terms of the selection and who would make the selection, this is pretty standard approach that I can follow to engaging third parties. There is a great deal of input and collaboration to make sure that the statement of work and the qualifications and the scope of work and timeline and all of those key elements make sense and are agreed to by all of you that will be working with the contractor. But the actual selection process and contracting is in the hands of ICANN. ICANN is the one that actually enters into the contract with the third party. Thank you.
Thanks, Larissa. Yeah, so I think those two issues were issues that we wanted to make sure we fully understood. As we were previously told that specifically that an RFP was not required. I think we all understood that we needed the scope of work and deliverables requirements document to get that out, but that an actual RFP process was not required because the amount of the contract does not reach the amount where an RFP is required. And previous review teams from a pool of consultants that ICANN confirmed were eligible and met ICANN's requirements, previous review teams selected contractors or consultants from that group. So that also, I think, is an important element that needed to be clarified. I see Alain's hand is up. Alain, go ahead. Alain, we're not hearing you yet.
Yes. I have my point here is I've shared the explanation from staff, but specifically what I want to know is that what will going to be the implication of the regime in terms of the selection of the consultants for me to know exactly if we have to have another action item. So it looks like staff is going to validate qualification, but the final selection of the contract of the consultants is going to be the responsibility of the review team. Is it correct?
Alain, that's a question that that has been raised. Staff has indicated that they'll be selecting consultants for the review team, which wasn't much of my understanding. So we were trying to work through where the disconnect might be on that. Alain, did you have an additional comment?
No comment, but I think Kathy asking a good question in the chat. Well, what is the deadline for reviewing the document? So I think this was supposed to be my follow up. So I think thank you, Kathy, for raising it. So we need, what is the deadline?
Right. So there isn't a deadline per se.
Friday.
And, yeah.
End of.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alain. Alain, did you have a comment? Okay.
Okay.
So,
if we can, maybe let's say by Friday, or maybe let's say before Monday next week could, I think for me could be a good deadline to make sure that everybody read the document and send comment if they have comments. So that in Monday, so that we can consolidate the document and probably have it discussed Tuesday, maybe in any other business or something like that.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on that? Are people comfortable with that deadline? Would you be so kind, Alain, as to put that on the team email list so we can alert those who were not able to join this call? Eric and I will strive to resolve the process questions that, of course, apply to any consultant that the team wants to engage beyond the gap analysis consultant. All right. Are there any other points people would like to discuss on this matter? Okay. Seeing no hands, we'll move on to the NDA. Carrie Ann and James had an opportunity to discuss this with legal staff last Friday. And I don't know if James is on the call. Carrie Ann, I believe you indicated that an updated document would be provided to the team. Is there any additional background you'd like to share with the team on this?
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. Thanks, Denise. Just as a quick update and what James and I were proposing in terms of going forward, we brought the concerns raised to the legal team. They've been really good in terms of listening to us and making the amendments based on their wider structure of what is going on in terms of using not just the NDA document but the confidential disclosure process that they're developing under the new bylaws. What we proposed or what we agreed to as the next steps is, based on the discussions we've been having, they're going to make some changes to the language. There are certain things that they are unable to change. For example, you're entering the agreement as an individual. But we've given them suggested language in relation to assignment to the SSR2 team, et cetera, and how you are actually nominated, who you represent while on the team, how the information is to be shared. There are two things that they took away from the last call that they have to come back to us on, one of which is what they propose as the procedure when you have more than one person on the team that has not signed the NDA and how it would impact our work. They're also to come back with us in relation to how we actually disclose the information that is shared with us under the NDA, especially if we also have members on the team who have not signed the NDA. So one of the things that James and I are proposing is that once we've gotten the updated draft from legal, we would then put it on the agenda for the SSR2 plenary, and then we'll walk you through each paragraph and explain the various discussions that has happened. They did indicate we could have shared a marked-up version, but we kind of decided not to because they are still making further adjustments to it. So So whatever version we would have shared last week would not have been updated enough that would warrant getting feedback from the team. So James and I, when we discussed it on the call, we said that we'll wait until the legal team from ICANN sends the new updated versions. Then we'll ask ICANN staff to circulate that to the plenary, and then we'll discuss it in detail at that point. But I think overall, I could say that the legal team has been very facilitative, open, and they have been listening in terms of trying to find a way forward. And I think that will be it, unless I have any questions from anyone.
Thank you, Kirianne. I have a question, and then I'll go to Eric. I see his hand is up as well. In having these discussions and reviewing the NDA process, do you have the sense that the process is something that can be triggered and triggered relatively quickly on an as-needed basis? And to provide a little context for my question, I know that most previous review teams, including the SSR1, did not sign NDAs in the course of their work. And so for me, that just raises a question of whether we will absolutely need to do an NDA in order to carry out our work. I suspect there will be points where we will need to, but I'm wondering if we can treat this as a matter of moving forward and then understanding what the NDA requirements are and then dealing with the NDA when we reach a point where team members feel that it's needed due to information we need access to. Did you get a sense of that?
Denise, I could be wrong, and staff could correct me based on the meeting we had. That came up, and our understanding is that it's now a new requirement under the bylaws. I think you had raised this question either in another chat, and I think staff had replied, or someone had replied to say that it's now a new requirement under the new bylaws. So the confidential disclosure framework that they're working on is now a new requirement under the new bylaws, and the NDA will be a requirement going forward. What I think they're using our experience to do is to actually see some of the basic things that should be as a standard comfortably enough for most persons to sign. And if there's need for individual negotiation, I think legal would probably have to address that directly. We could ask them a direct question. But I think the first approach right now is that it's going to be a standard part of operations going forward. That's what I took from the meetings so far.
Thank you, Kirianne, and thank you so much for working on this. Eric, we'll go to you.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Denise. And yeah, I agree. Thanks, Kirianne, and to James, even though he's not here, for picking this up. I just wanted to float a couple of general questions, and I'm not sure how easy it'll be to answer them now, so much as just sort of like put them in the hopper for the next time you guys may talk to whoever. One, do we have an understanding that once the NDA is complete that it may take time for the legal teams, the general counsel offices of various companies to go over the agreement and actually get back to us? In other words, like, you know, the comment that sort of prompted that for me was when, Kirianne, you said that one of the points of discussion was what if more than one person on the team doesn't execute the NDA? Like, you know, executing the NDA is only done when our GC says it's okay. So it might take some time, and sort of in a related question, do we have any kind of process or understanding or mechanism for what happens when our GC kind of perhaps inevitably wants to make line item changes or anything?
Hi, Eric. We did indicate to them that some team members would need to take the document back to their companies to have it reviewed. So that was put on, they were put on notice.
The host
like
has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
So I think what I understood from legal is that at that point, when there are probably individual changes that may need to happen based on company requirements, etc., they would then have to take it on board. But in terms of negotiating or talking to the individual that may have difficulty signing it as is, but one of the aims that we're having now is to address some of the more broader issues and to ensure that It is a document that is that persons as individuals will be more comfortable signing as is. Even we indicated, I think, clearly that each person may need to take it back to their own legal, because the same on our end as well. So legal is aware of that. So I think the short answer is they are aware, and I think when that comes up, they'll be taking it maybe on a case-by-case basis based on the request that's coming from the company. But what we can emphasize to them is that we would need an interpretation from them as to how do we, one, extrapolate the information that is shared with someone who has signed the NDA to ensure that it's captured correctly and not breach any confidentiality agreement the person would have signed if they're members on the team who have not signed. And there are mechanisms that we discussed on the call that may be possible, but we're waiting on legal to just get back with us with the updated draft, and then we'll be going into more details on those other areas.
Thank you. Are there any other questions relating to NDAs or issues people would like to surface at this point? I'm not seeing any hands. Okay. So, as is indicated in the slide window, we apparently will be getting final updates from ICANN Legal next week. So we'll have this on the agenda again for team members to address, and I'm sure there'll be additional discussions on the email list on this point. Thank you again, Carrie-Anne. We've reached the all other business portion of our call. Do people have any additional items they'd like to raise on this call? Carrie-Anne, is your hand new or old?
It's new.
Great. The floor is yours. Go ahead.
Thanks, Denise. I had a general question. Based on, in terms of the sub-team meetings going forward, there was an email chain where you had replied to a question, I think, by the Bopan or someone in terms of how do we, are we supposed to cancel all the sub-team meetings going forward? So I wanted to just get a understanding as to how the sub-teams would be working. Is it that we would have the regular plenary and place on the agenda of each plenary a subtopic that may need addressing? I'm not clear what the process is going forward, and we'd only have our sub-team calls on an ad hoc basis as needed. Are we suspending all recurring sub-team calls given the challenges we've had? I just wanted kind of more clarity going forward.
Sure.
How will the sub-teams be working full stop? Like, it's not clear to me. Like, we've suspended the calls based on the challenges we've had, but are we planning to put it on the agenda of each plenary meeting to have the topics advanced? Just needed some clarification.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you for the question. And I'll invite Eric to jump in here too, if he'd like. This call focused on SSR1, and subsequent calls will be the plenary calls will largely be devoted to a single subtopic. So, in effect, the plenary call will replace a subtopic team call. We've suspended all the various subtopic team calls that people are finding very hard to follow without clear notes, and many people simply couldn't make multiple calls each week. So we've suspended
and
the subtopic calls.
This is the operator. Mr. Matagoro has joined.
Thank you. So we've suspended the subtopic calls, except where the rapporteur has indicated that specific work streams require a separate call to advance the work. And we're dealing with the substance of each subtopic in the plenary call. So next week's call will be addressing DNS SSR. September 5th will be addressing ICANN SSR. We'll be addressing on September 12th future challenges, and then September 19th is IANA transition. We proposed that schedule. It's on the email list posted last Friday, August 18th. Happy to move those around if it's not ideal for people who are particularly interested in addressing one of these topics or if a rapporteur has a conflict. But that's the plan going forward. Again, this doesn't preclude additional calls if it's needed to advance a particular issue or other activities where team members want to work together to on particular topics for the team. And of course, everything as usual will be brought back to the full team and the email list. Does that respond fully to your question, Carrie Ann?
It does, Denise, but just one further clarification. For example, we've circulated for a week now the teacher challenges work items, just seeking confirmation from the plenary. Is it that we can wait for that in an email confirmation, say it's done on the email list, or do we wait to have it on the plenary agenda? Because it would mean that I would just then suspend any work on it until September when it's on the meeting. So I think it's some understanding as to how are the works suspended until they're on the agenda, or do we continue to try and get approval from the plenary through the email list on the work items so we can then advance what the work plan should look like?
Yes, the email list is intended to fully advance work. People should not feel like they have to wait to discuss things on a team call. And in fact, especially because of the broadly distributed nature, geographically distributed nature of this team, it's often difficult to get everyone on the call. We're relying on people using the full team email list to work and advance the issues. So I think as long as we have a clear directive that what action is being requested and by when, you should certainly feel free to move work forward using the email list. And also, Carrie Ann, if you feel like the Future Challenges group would benefit from a discussion with the full team earlier than September 12th, I'm happy to look at switching around the order and the dates for addressing it. So please feel free to follow up online and let me know if that's the case. I see Eric has his hand up. And I'm sorry, I see Karen has her hand up as well. I didn't see that earlier. But go ahead, Eric, and then Karen.
Go ahead, Eric, and then Karen.
Should I go?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right. Okay, and to sort of just jump back to that point real quick. I think our hope is that by putting the plenary calls onto the subtopic tracks, we're going to try and break logjams, break still sort of lack of progress. So I think our hope very much is that progress is made on the mail list. I think that's absolutely what we hope is the primary narrative of progress at this point. And barring any progress being able to be made on the mailing list, we have the plenary calls that will focus on subtopics. So, yeah, to Denise's point, if it's helpful to advance things on the future challenges subteam by pushing them to one of the earlier plenary calls, I think we'll definitely be happy to do that. And we really hope that in the meantime, both before and or after, people are progressing all the good work on the mailing list. We're just observing it hasn't seemed to work that way so far. Does that make sense?
Thanks, Eric. Karen, did you have something on this topic?
Yes, I do. On the
go ahead.
I'm sorry. The ICANN SSR subgroup meeting in LA. We have a drop dead date. We need to know whether you're going to want to schedule that meeting or not today. Travel. With an exception, within 60 days of a meeting, they will not schedule travel. So we need to know today whether you're going to hold the meeting so we can proceed with making travel arrangements, or we can just consider holding the meeting after Abu Dhabi.
Thanks, Karen. So the action items that we had agreed on previous
obviously were confirmation of issues that need to be addressed and the staff that needed to be there to address them and their availability. I may have missed that on the list. Has that been done?
We do have staff from a variety of departments that are being lined up pending the final list of issues and questions that Boban's group was developing.
Well, let's circle back on this on the email list and try and get closure by tomorrow.
We have.
We'll need
tomorrow. Tomorrow's too late. We need something.
Oh,
now.
Is it? And it's today. Okay. Thanks for raising
today.
That. All right. We'll follow up.
We've got experts from the CIO engineering department, from IANA, from risk management, the OCTO department are all lined up to participate depending on what the questions and the specifics that Boban's group has determined. So they are ready to go. We just need to have the final list and then get the go ahead to start travel. Otherwise, it will not happen.
Okay. Could you share those names, please, with the group involved? And we'll circle back with Boban after the call's over. Don, did you have a question or an issue? I see your hands raised.
Yeah, I put it in chat, but it kind of got chopped up. I don't like the idea of shifting around our schedules, but I just wanted to toss the idea out that the week that any given sub-team is supposed to have focus over the next few weeks, we look to find times that work for as many of the sub-team members as possible. Not critical, just a thought.
Absolutely, Don. And if you have specific suggestions of changes to the proposed schedule, please do let us know. We'll do our best to accommodate all of the interests. Rapporteur availability was part of the consideration, but again, we're really happy to consider changes to accommodate more people.
Jeff is specifically who I'd had in mind for the DNS group. So, okay.
Yeah, thanks. We'll definitely follow up on that.
We'll definitely follow up on that.
Okay, it might have worked out that way already. I haven't. Just wanted to toss the idea while we were online and thinking about it.
Yep, excellent point. Thank you. Are there any other additional questions or issues to be addressed while we're on the phone? Okay. Great. Well, we have our action items from SSR1, and we'll be addressing NDAs again next week, and Boban and I and staff and Eric need to address the LA trip before close of business today. Anything else? Okay. Thank you, everyone, for participating. I look forward to talking to you next week, and please don't be shy about participating on the email list. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.